Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and children. Welcome to the F-World headquarters. I am your host with the most, the original F-World icon, the leader of the F-4L, Sean Jazz Stevens. I hope you guys are all doing well. It's Friday. Happy Friday, everyone. I hope you guys had a great week. Hope was productive. I hope you guys did some stuff to make your goals, dreams, whatever it is that you're working on happen. Hope you guys are not, doing what you get. Hope you guys are all basically making the most of your times. Nothing worse than wasting time, in my opinion. I've had a busy week. It's been a very busy week. I've had a lot of things going on, a lot of things to do. Preparation for the upcoming, this weekend's upcoming MMA tournament. And for those people who are wondering, we guys saw some matches this past week back on our YouTube show regularly. We had an episode on Monday, as well as I had the drawing on Tuesday night on my YouTube channel. The regular YouTube channel that everyone's aware of, the Icons of the F4L channel, where we have the Dream Wrestling matches and we have things like that. I had done a live drawing as we're going to have our weekend's tournament this weekend. As I said like three times already. But I did the drawings to find out who's going to face who in the preliminaries. We have 40 people participating in this year's event, and that's a lot of people. And let me tell you, it's been pretty epic. We have five rounds, and then what we're going to do is, you know, for you guys who are good in math and know how a tournament works, basically for the eight slots, we're going to have the winners of each of the rounds, basically. The winners of each of the rounds, we're going to call those preliminaries in those each events. And the winners of those rounds will be entered later on Saturday night after conclusion of all the matches. And then all of the names in the bucket will be those who have advanced, as well as two additional names, as we're going to have a melee. We're going to call it an MMA melee, to decide the final two slots. The last two people in the ring will be added to the tournament, kind of like a last-minute thing. And those people who are going to be in that match will actually be people who have been either the semifinals or came really close. In some cases, some people might have been injured, so there's a substitute, someone from that they had to have been part of the tournament in order to be qualified to get in. Let me tell you, folks, it's going to be an amazing event tomorrow. We're very excited. At least I am. I know a lot of people who know their tournament's going on, and a lot of the people who are involved within the tournament, the real-life people who practice martial arts, are into these things. And really, the people, you know, the reason we're having this tournament is because we ask people on social media, what kind of a show do you guys want to see? What kind of a tournament should we do as our kind of welcome back tournament, since we usually do these tournaments periodically, and what should we do for, you know, a tournament to welcome people back? And people said they wanted to see an MMA style tournament, and I said, let's do it. So I had actually built a very special arena for this event tomorrow, as well as the official. See, unfortunately, we can only work with titles, I suppose. So what we're going to do is have the winner of this whole tournament will be crowned the Icon of MMA, and there will be a championship involved in which that person will be, in fact, crowned the Icon of the MMA, and that is a title that they will have until next year's event, probably. And the way I see it, and I don't know anyone really who should complain, but we do have the MMA Grand Prix Championship on our show regularly. Currently, our champion is Carter the Cobra Stritzel, one half of the Stritzel Fight Club. His brother Mason is a former F4L Icon champion on Mondays. And when we did this, we redid the brackets this year for this event, for this year. It turned out, since Mason was the F4L Icon champion and Carter was the MMA Grand Prix champion, unfortunately, and then we put everyone in the jar of fate, Carter got drafted some Fridays, and Mason was drafted to Mondays. So Mason on Monday and Carter on Friday. MMA Grand Prix title is the secondary title on Friday to the Dream Masters VA Championship, in which there are people involved on that show that are also involved in this tournament, which, you know, a lot of people who watch the shows regularly know a lot of these names who are following these young stars. The people of all ages really are involved. And basically took a lot of our iconic MMA characters and people who have made a difference on our show. Now, the only person we did kind of leave out intentionally is the Dragon Bruce Lee, who was on our show originally way back when. But a few years ago, my son and I inducted Bruce Lee into our very first class of Jazz and Sons Hall of Fame. And, you know, we take those things serious. However, in his place, because he has been requested. Actually, it was them Inna Boys as was on this show that they asked for him to be added or to have people of that caliber. And, of course, Brandon Lee, the son of Bruce Lee, also known as the Crow, he will be involved in the tournament, and he is in the tournament. So that's going to be interesting to see how that works out. And it's his return show, really. We haven't seen Brandon Lee of the Crow in a little while, so interesting to see how he does against this new batch of, you know. And we have a few other MMA people as well. And for those people who are not aware of who missed Tuesday, Tuesday is when I lively, on my YouTube channel, I did read off everyone who was involved, and I read off who was facing who. And I'll tell you, people are very excited. And I have to say, some of these matches that are destined to happen are actually, if I might say, there are matches that I think anyone, anywhere would probably really, you know, who are following, like I said, who are following MMA would really be quite interested to see. And one moment, folks. You know, I do everything on my own here, folks. It's awesome stuff. It's great. No, I'm just kidding. So, anywho, I wanted to go over, for those people who may have missed on Tuesday, who had maybe missed the, you know, who's facing who and when, you know, I'm going to go through that again right now. And this time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read them off of the... I'm actually going to read them off of the special tournament chart that I have that is going to help keep everything regulated and keep everything in order so we have no controversy or whatever else. So we're going to, again, break this into five rounds. And then at the conclusion of the fifth round, whoever wins that, we're going to have a melee. We're going to call it an MMA melee, in which the winner of that will, the two final two people in that melee will actually be added to the tournament, and that is where we'll get our number for those people who are math whizzes who are wondering how are you going to get this number right. There's your answer. Now, that being said, let's go through who is facing who in the preliminaries tomorrow. This show is going to kick off tomorrow early. We're going to start having the preliminaries, and tomorrow night at the conclusion of all those, I'm going to have another YouTube video in which I'm going to put all of the people who have advanced. And again, this will take place even after that last melee, because those names will be picked up. And then I'm going to do it similar to how I did this round where I drew the names out. We're going to do that right with the next round as well and find out who is going to face who in the next round. So let's go over who is involved and when. Starting in round one, I'm going to tell you, these matches are going to be interesting and iconic. A lot of people are coming back in part of this show. People are making their debuts in this show. This weekend we have a few debuts, a few returns, and, you know, a lot of people are anticipating it, so it should be interesting. And the potential for, you know, those MMA dream matches are also there. And for who knows, because remember, our shows are run the same way we always do it. We have no control over the winners or the losers, and we don't pick winners and losers or anything like that. We just call the action, let the system go through it. That's all it is. So let's go through round one. Round one will be Ryu from Capcom Japan taking on Hiro, the Pitbull Menya, representing the Menya boys, one half of the Telenet Tag Team Champions, by the way, and a guest on the show recently. And actually, his birthday's coming up, so shout out to Hiro. Hiro, happy birthday, brother. I hope you're doing well, and may all your dreams come true. And best of luck tomorrow if you're listening to this. The Pitbull's involved there. So the Pitbull, Hiro Menya, representing the Menya boys, and the one half of the Telenet Tag Team Champions on Tuesday nights, taking on Ryu, who, if you guys remember, was a tag team guy himself. But Ryu from Capcom Japan is going to be coming back, and from Street Fighter. And next we have Steven Seagal, Master of Hapkido, returning to take on YouTube sensation Jake Paul. Also, and he also has some fighting under his belt as well. So we're going to find out what happens when Steven Seagal, the Master of Hapkido, faces the YouTube turned boxer MMA guy Jake Paul, making his way from Russia. We're going to have Khabib himself, the UFC legend Khabib, who is going to go one-on-one with our social media, our Dream Master social media champion, and my co-host on Tuesday, Jojo, the model Sebastian, who, as you guys remember, he does have a background in martial arts. So we're going to find out how he fails against Khabib, who is a UFC legend soon enough. We have the returning Riley Simmons taking on Jean-Claude Van Damme. Also makes his return. So Riley Simmons was a huge one of the – a lot of these names are people who have been there since the beginning. Riley Simmons is someone who has been part of the original kind of roster since we started this. He's a young man from the UK. He's a gymnast by trade. Loves to promote his conflict with bullies. Likes to destroy bullies. He's a bully buster. So we're all on the same side on that end. And he, like I said, he's in that ring. He is very, very tough and very agile. And it's going to be, and he just started training in MMA and jiu-jitsu. So we'll have to see how he does as he takes on Jean-Claude Van Damme. And that is round one. In round two, we have the American icon himself, Chuck Norris. Believe it or not, he's not in our Hall of Fame yet. Probably next year, maybe. But the American icon, Chuck Norris, the man behind the jokes, taking on Johnny Cage of Mortal Kombat, Hollywood district of Mortal Kombat semi. That's in the kicking off in round two. Also, we have number 13, Yevgeny Verkhovets, the young footballer and the MMA star from Moscow, Russia, to take on UFC, former UFC fighter and current wrestling star, Matt Riddle. Then it starts to get intense. The notorious one, Conor McGregor, the UFC legend from Dublin, Ireland, taking on Ty the Devil O'Dell, one half of our BA Tag Team Champions currently, and one-third of the O'Dell boys, who are used to these competitions, by the way. Then we're going to have Dan the Man Pewter, former MMA star, WWE star, Tough Enough winner, and fellow bully buster, Daniel Pewter, taking on, get this, the other half of the BA Tag Team Champions, Mason the Hammer O'Dell. And that's two-thirds of the O'Dells right there in two separate matches. But the potential is there for, you know, whatnot. We don't know. Just going to see. In round three, you want to talk about matches. We have Eli Hawk Mordowitz, Hawk for short, from the Cobra Kai series, to take on none other than Tom Holland, who is now Nathan Drake for my son, part of the Awesome Ones. So Tom Holland's become part of this show. He is Nathan Drake, really, but that's that. We have Jason Statham from the good old United Kingdom. I don't think I have to tell you who Jason Statham is. He is the bad boy from England. As he takes on, representing the Bullies, Rampage, Ronnie Angle. We have, representing the Convery Chess Club, is Christopher Convery, taking on the current reigning Dream Masters United States Champion, Jaden the Boxer Brooks. And in the main event, the final one for the final round, the final match of the preliminaries for that round will be Mason the Beast Stritzel to go one-on-one with Anthony the Submission Hunter, Odell. People who watch the shows and know these people in real life are probably clamoring to find out what happens when those two meet, because they're both very, very much young monsters in their own right. So that'll be coming up this tomorrow, as far as that goes. In round four, if you think that's something, where do you hear round four's matchups? In round four, we have Henry El Negro Mina taking on Igor, the returning Igor Kinderhalk from St. Petersburg, Russia. Should be interesting. Of course, Henry from San Antonio, Texas. That's Shawn Michaels' country. Also, we have former Dream Masters MMA Grand Prix champion and the United Kingdom's rising star in all of that, in both martial arts, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, and rowing, is Leo the Bull Curtis. And he's taking on the other two-thirds of the Convereys, as he's going to take on Christian Convery, the Canadian Convery, for some people who might not know. He is the sweet tooth of the group. And then we have, from also Russia, Ivan the Dolphin Shark, the rocking Russian swimmer, who's all about promoting rock and roll and beating people in the pool, but also in our ring. Trains in MMA and Sambo, which is a Russian style of wrestling and martial arts. And he is going to be participating, and he's going to be taking on none other than Armored King from Tekkenville, USA. Tekkenville, Mexico, sorry, is Armored King. And then we have another debut. It is the third member of the Convery Chess Club. It is the newest Convery. It is 007, the maestro, Sean Convery. He is the younger brother of Christopher Convery and the cousin of Christian Convery. So now they're a faction. Sean's making his debut against, talk about a draw. Sean gets to make his debut against the current reigning Dream Masters MMA Grand Prix champion, Carter the Cobra Stritzel. That's a tough one right there. But, if you're going to make a debut, might as well start big, right? And then round five, this is the final round in the rest of the people competing. We have Ash Ketchum from Pellet Town, Japan, of course from Pokemonville as well, taking on the Canadian Pop Prince, Canadian Prince of Pop, Justin Bieber, as he wants to be called, and that's the first one. The next one is the Beast Incarnate, former UFC champion, future Hall of Famer, current wrestling star, and from Saskatchewan, Canada, Brock Lesnar, to take on the returning President Austin Jr., representing the father-son fist bump. We want to talk about coming back into the fold. Austin and his dad, both back on their roster, after a little bit of an absence. And Austin himself is a former MMA Grand Prix champion for us, so he has some experience there. He's going to be going up there against Brock Lesnar, though. Talk about welcome back. there's a welcome for you, I suppose. Should be intense right there as Austin takes on the Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar. And if you're going to make an impact, I guess you might as well take on one of the biggest in the tournament, right? There you go. Speaking of which, from Hong Kong, China, is the IP man Donnie Yen, who is making his debut along with the returning number one, the Nightmare, Noah T, making his return. Way back when we had a MMA tournament to decide the champion, and Noah T was a former MMA champion for us. So the young man from across the pond getting ready to step back into the ring for this event. He's a fan favorite, so we'll have to see how he does against the IP man, Donnie Yen. And in the final match of round five will be the crow himself, Brandon Lee, son of legendary Bruce Lee, to take on the returning Ronan the Roninja Swenson. Back from injury, back from training. He's back in our ring, folks. He's taking part in the tournament tomorrow. How will he do? We'll have to find out. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Those are the people in which will take up rounds ones, twos, threes, fours, and fives. And again, whoever advances to the semifinals or comes very close, they will have the ability, as long as they're feeling up to it, will be entered into the melee for the kind of the moment of truth kind of a thing. I want to call it the Eye of the Tiger MMA melee, where everyone who has advanced, so unfortunately people who are advanced who lost early, unfortunately won't be able to participate unless due to injury. So there's that. But in order to be qualified to enter this melee, you have to have been in the tournament officially. So that is our Dream Masters MMA Grand Prix Champion. We're going to call it MMA Sickness 2022. It should be intense. And again, the winner of the entire event, this is a two-day thing, as I mentioned at the start. So this is day one, will be all of the preliminaries, which, trust me, if you're going to sit there on YouTube and watch all of these incredible matches, which I do recommend, there's going to be some great matches, I'm sure. We have a lot of hardworking young men and women who are on a roster on a regular basis, and a lot of these people put serious work into their training. And the funny part is, as hard as they are on the ring, in the screen, and then, you know, on when you see on the show, in real life, they're just as intense and just as feared in real life as well. So it's going to be great to see some of these matches and see who is going to be crowned the 2022 very first icon of MMA, which they will have a championship that will say so, and they will carry that title for almost for the whole year, because that's how that works. Until next year, when we do it again, probably at the same time. What a great way to kick off June. And happy June, everyone. Hopefully everyone had a great May. I'm hoping everyone took care of their moms on Mother's Day. Rumor has it there's a day coming up for Dad somewhere. And I got some very exciting news I wanted to share with you guys. I'm going to have a guest on the show working on a time frame. And we're going to have a fellow for June. I want to get a few dads on the show. So if you listen to the show right now, and you're interested in being on our show, please reach out to me by email at wowdreammatches, dreammatches, at gmail.com. And that way there I can know if you would wish to be a guest on the show. I'm looking for dads to come on the show and talk about what it's like to really be a dad and the kind of the backstories of, you know, how you grew up and how you do things currently and so forth. So a little bit of a thing. Yeah, we're going to get down personal. I'm going to invite some of my fellow dads on here. And you know what? I really only associate with people who are awesome people in general. And all honesty, if I don't think you're a good parent, I probably wouldn't invite you on. I can tell you that I'm currently working on, like I said, a time frame. There is a few people already that have agreed to come on the show, which I'm very excited for. We also have some other people who are waiting on time and come in. I know Jackson R. Scott, Walker Campbell, the young musician, waiting to come back here to sing some songs for us. Jackson R. Scott, our current VA champion, we're going to have him come on the show. Maybe we'll have to have JoJo come back eventually. JoJo, my co-host, talk about what it's like for him to be working on the show. And then some. You know, I was contemplating doing a live interview, doing this podcast live, and I'm curious what people's thoughts are of this. I guess they'll be done via Zoom. I want to be clear for people, okay? When we say podcast, I want to make sure we're clear and this is kind of, you know, the thing. A podcast is meant to be heard on the radio, and it is on the radio. It is a audio thing. Most people grew up listening to Guns N' Roses, listen to Casey Kasem, or maybe you listen to some, you know, maybe you listen to, you know, Late Night with Nikki Sixx or House of Hair on Saturday nights. This is a radio show initially, and it's a talk show. And, secondly, it's just an ability that people are able to hook up their computers, and now anyone can be that DJ, I guess you'd call it, the host with the most. But to me, a podcast and an interview are kind of two different things. To do a podcast, you're done usually done with, you know, the computer itself, and you're usually, it's an audio thing. You talk, they talk. This show is a legitimate one. Our good friends at Blog Talk Radio are the ones who support us here. And we have a guest line. By the way, that guest line, if you ever wondered, is 516-453-9380. If anyone is, you know, interested in hearing or calling in or being a guest at some point, that is the guest line for us. This is a, and it's not my, that's not my phone number, ladies and gentlemen. That is the, you know, studio's number. So this is a legit thing. Think of it as if you were calling the radio station to request a song, only your request is to talk with me, I guess you'd say. And I always tell people whenever they're getting ready to come on the show, think of it more like having a conversation with a friend or someone you haven't talked to in a long time, or someone you're just trying to get to know on the phone with, you know, knowing that 1,000 other people will be listening to the same conversation. That's all. If that doesn't sound appealing, I don't know. But, no, we got some awesome guests coming up. I already know that. We had a guest on the show not long ago, Jaden Brooks, the boxer, Jaden Brooks, in fact. His dad's going to be coming on the show to talk to us about, you know, being the real dad. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for him, and he's done a lot of great work. And, you know, it's not easy being a father. It's not easy being a parent in general. And you see, I know a lot of people who are out there are like, well, moms, this is mom's work. And I think that's BS. I think when it comes to raising kids, it has to be a team effort. And a man has, when you have kids, has to step up to do that, be a man thing. And I think for me, there's more to being a father than just going to work and, you know, collecting a check and then coming home and going to bed to go back again. I'm a family guy initially. I grew up, didn't have that relationship, didn't have a father. And I always said growing up, when I had kids of my own, I would make sure they knew, one, how important they are, how awesome they are, and I would make sure, although they would learn things from time to time on their own, I would help guide them where they needed to be and give them guidance when they needed it. But also, when they needed a laugh, I'd be that goofy dad. And I guess now they call them dad jokes. I think back in the day, they were just jokes. of course, most people will say that I'm pretty good, kind of do a lot of things. I like to do things with people. I'm not one of those people who likes to just sit around, especially when it comes to family. You know, I think, you know, even if it's just, you know, sitting around on a Friday or a Saturday night, you know, the kids are off from school, you don't have any work, most people, you know, why not have a family game night, catch up with everyone? Because we can all get busy during the week, and I get that. You know, mom and dad's working now, and, you know, the kids sometimes have school and then work of their own selves. Because let me tell you, as a parent's perspective, you have kids for so long, and they're young for only so long because they grow and they get older, and they go through those teen years when they don't want any part of you anymore. And then as a parent, that, you know, kind of digs at the heart when you don't think they need you. But maybe it's the fact that, you know, I grew up the way I did, or maybe it's the fact that I know the reality of it. Because I can look at everything in three different ways. I can look at things like, oh, I can't believe my little boy or girl, and I have one of each, are growing up. But in the same sense, I know realistically there's always going to be those times when they're going to need the dad talk here and there, or they're going to need, you know, something. So, you know, for those people who think that, you know, your work as a father is going to work, coming home, and, you know, that's it. Or yelling when it comes to be, or being the disciplinary person. I don't think necessarily that's quite, no, I'm going to tell you, that's not all there is to being a father. There's a lot more to it, to be a good one anyway. There are a lot of people who can have children. There are a lot of people who can have sex. There's not many people who can actually step up and be a man and take ownership and responsibility for their actions and be dads. You can have sex with someone and you can get someone pregnant. You can have a kid. It doesn't make you a parent yet. What defines a parent is someone who, you know, I think it's my uncle who said it once. As I said before on our show, when I talked about my mother and my mother's special, you know, they grew up, you know, always kind of living in the secret. They always thought they knew who their parents were, and they found out at my brother's christening that they were not. In fact, you know, they were actually adopted, not realistically part of this family that they were always known. My mother was always someone who always wanted to know the answers. My uncle was someone who said, well, you know what? Whoever raises me, put a roof over my head, fed me, clothed me, loved me, that's my parents. And you know what? I have to say, I have to agree with that. There are some times in our lives we have situations where we have people in our lives who, you know, we have, unfortunately, it happens a lot with guys where they, you know, have, you know, they, you know, a young couple gets all hot and bothered. I get it. But rather than either wrap it up or use protection or, you know, wait till whatever the case may be, wait till you're ready for such, you know, things happen and someone gets pregnant. Then next thing you know, what do? Well, my mother, you know, at her age, she was 16 when she had me. In the 80s, that's a pretty serious thing. And it was frowned upon. There was no TV show called my daughter's 16 and pregnant on MTV. There was no such thing back when my mother was doing it, because it was something that was so taboo. You would never, ever, you know, tell the neighbors you were pregnant, because you would be shamed. Your family would be shamed. My mother didn't care. She said, listen, I'm not going to tell you in graphic detail her explanation for it, but she is dead straight on it. And if you want to know what she exactly said, I do quote her phrase in the book that in the novel that I'm currently working on, in my memoir, because I think it's important to realize kind of who my mother was and how she operated and how she looked at things. Always confrontational. In a lot of ways, sometimes we have situations where a mom who is a single mom is both mom and dad. And I'm not talking about the gender kind of a split thing. I'm talking about sometimes you have a single mom or sometimes a single dad who has to you have to adapt when you have children. When you choose to be a parent, step up and take care and raise these people, then, you know, that's when you kind of have to, you know, sometimes if you're a single mom or dad, that's when you become both mom and dad. That's why it's probably a good idea to catch up on various different things. You never know what conversations are going to happen. Being a father and being a parent, it's the most tedious, most nerve-wracking, hardest job you can do. You have your heart broken sometimes. You're scared almost all the time. But yet in the end, when you see how well they turn out, you see that they got a job, when you see them succeed in their goals, their dreams, you see the smiles on their faces, and you see them succeed in their own personal goals, you see them grow into these amazing humans, you have to take some ownership and responsibility and say, you know what, I helped get them there. And that is the most rewarding part of being a parent. That is the most endearing part of being a parent. That's the stuff that you don't get. There's no monetary thing. It's just knowing the fact that your kids love you. You have respect to your parent, your kids. You have the title of mom or dad. And to me, I think that is a bigger honor than any award or prize. I won world titles in wrestling. I won multiple championships. I've gotten trophies in sports. I won multiple martial art awards. I won all kinds of film awards, writing awards, acknowledgments. I was National Brother of the Year. I was PWI's Golden Microphone Award. No matter what it is, I mean, I graduated high school with honors. And all of that, the biggest award I have is knowing that my kids are succeeding. I have a daughter and a son who, one, graduated high school. They made it through there. Both of them are working. Both of them are phenomenal young adults now. I'm proud of both of them. And, you know, they're there. My wife is an amazing mother. Doesn't get as much credit as she deserves. Even though I tell her a lot, and she probably doesn't believe half of it just because of how she grew up. But it is true. My wife is one of the best mothers, probably the best mother that one can have. Always putting the kids before herself multiple times. And that's kind of what the parent thing is. There have been times when even I myself, if I'm short or something, I'll make sure the kids are fed before I will. There are times when we're stressed out as parents. What do? You're constantly worried. You know, the kids are going to school. What happens to them at school? Especially things like that happened last week in Texas. I mean, I can't imagine. I've lost a son. I lost my son because my girlfriend at the time was attacked. That's something you don't plan to happen. But these are things that define someone. These are the things that grow you as a person. And it could be the fact that because that happened when I was so young, when I was preparing to be a father, that's probably why I was always in the role and kind of geared towards being a dad and being a father. I remember when I was approached, I was about maybe 18, 19, and I was approached by Big Brother, Big Sister agency. I was, just got done signing some autographs on our sidewalk sale that our city used to do. The sidewalk sale was a thing where all these, businesses, local little small shops, and restaurants, whatever, would come out and set booths up in front of their stores on the main street in my area. And, all the businesses there would be there and other corporations and organizations. And I just got done signing some autographs, as I usually did at these, events, being the wrestler from the area and being hailed from the city of presidents. That's kind of what you do. And I did that and, I'm walking down the street and I'm talking to people and, the woman, there was a woman and a young man who approached me and said, "You ever thought about being a big brother, the big brother, big sister?" I said, "Well, I am a big brother and legitimately I am a big brother. I have three younger siblings. One of them I don't associate with anymore for multiple reasons. And the other two, as you get older, you kind of, I think when you're a sibling, you sometimes tend to grow older and apart, but it's the same thing where, weddings, funerals, things like that, you'll see each other. You'll say hello to each other if you see them. I know that a long time ago, I would go above and beyond a lot of the times to reach out to my younger siblings to kind of keep things together and keep things alive and keep the relationship good. I remember around their birthdays, since they were a month apart, I used to do it around the summertime. I would, get tickets to a concert that the three of us would go, me and my two brothers, and we'd go to this concert and just rock out or whatever. And that's honestly my opinion when it comes to like celebrations and gifts and birthdays and holidays. To me, I feel like going someplace and doing something is more important than getting something tangible. Because I feel like when you go to something like a concert or you go to a play, you go to a movie, you go to an event, that memory of that event is going to last you a lifetime. But, you know, if you, let's say the best example, my wife and my kids on our anniversary, my wife and I celebrate the anniversary in which when we officiated, you know, this relationship is going to start, not necessarily just our wedding anniversary. I know we're young kids in love. I know, even though we've been together for as long as we have, we still keep things interesting and keep it going. But in June, that's actually coming up, by the way, that small anniversary is coming up. But anywho, it's in June and it's coming up. And one of the years we did that, we went on a family concert, and that was where we took them to their first family concert. It was Def Leppard was the headliner, and it was REO Speedwagon and Tesla who opened up for them. So that's a pretty good show for those people. And our kids love all of that music. So, you know, we did a good job as parents raising them with the greatest music ever, which I think most kids who grow up with parents like us grow up to be very successful in general. Just saying. From other people who have kids who listen to the same kinds of music, who raise their kids similar. For example, our friends at the Father-Son Fist Bump. I know that Gabe is very, was, you know, really innovative in introducing Austin into, you know, various musics and so forth like that, that Austin loves, and the music and the culture. And other people I talk to, like if they talk about what eras they'd like to go back to, this is just across the board. Everyone says the 80s, which I got to agree. The 80s are the greatest era ever. But I'm also partial because I'm from the 80s. So there you go. But no, but when it comes to our first family concert, you know, we have that memory of going to see Def Leppard and Hard, not Def Leppard and Hard, Def Leppard and REO Speedwagon and Tesla. And, you know, we remember, you know, going to there as a concert, you know, that was their first concert ever, all of them across the board, which I was kind of sad about because my wife was, you know, I don't want to say how old she is, but she's a beautiful young lady anyway. But anywho, she was, you know, you would have thought she would have been to a concert, but as it turns out, she hadn't been. She's been plenty of wrestling shows. Trust me, she's been to probably more wrestling shows than I have, and I've been wrestling in some. But my wife and I, you know, we wanted to make sure we did something as a family as well. We like to try to include our kids into those special moments because they're just as important part of the show, part of our lives than anything else. And we went to this Def Leppard show. We got comped for the first time. I've been going to that arena at the Xfinity Center for years. My brothers and friends, I've gone to that place. Sometimes I've gone twice in the same week for some shows. And all of my years going, I've never been comped in that arena. Now, to be clear what comped is, let's say for the sake of argument, you have a show that isn't necessarily sold out or they have extra tickets. What they'll do is, you know, people who have been around or people who are there, they'll upgrade your seats, very nice of them, so you can get a better seat. We originally had decent seats. We didn't have bad seats, that's for sure. But they moved it. They ended up moving us like five rows from the stage. So imagine your first concert getting comped to go five rows from Def Leppard and REO Speedwagon and, you know, Tesla and rocking out to that stuff. I mean, it really is, you know, they were really worried about getting some sugar poured on them, you know, and that's how that works. I know that was a dad joke. Thank you very much. I'll be here all night. Anyway, my son, each of their own individual experiences with it, their own memories from it. My son remembers falling asleep at one point, which he did briefly, and I know a lot of people are like, how did he fall asleep at a Def Leppard concert? It was only briefly, folks, trust me, and it was a long day, and it was a long concert, but he, you know, he probably dozed off for like a minute, then he was back up there rocking out with the rest of us, and that's how that works. And in his defense, it was a slow song, so it wasn't like it was one of the, we call ballads for our rock fans, so that's kind of what put him to sleep, and then when Post-Sorum Sugar came up, he was up there and dancing around like he had, know, whatever. I don't even think he wanted us to know he would fall asleep, but we know. But and my daughter remembers, you know, rocking out to the Def Leppard and all that stuff and knowing most of their music and then learning more of it. My wife, I still remember the smile on her face as she's dancing around over there. Things found out she knows more songs than I do when it comes to REO Speedwagon. Probably knew more about REO Speedwagon Tesla than I ever did. So, of course, I was a little jealous, but it was awesome. We still had a great time. That was a family memory. So there's that. And I think when we went, I don't remember if we got shirts or not, but I can tell you this. I've gone to other concerts where I might have gotten a T-shirt or a hat or something. And that was a long time ago that I've been going to concerts and so forth. And I don't know where any of those concert T-shirts are anymore, but I remember every concert I've been to. And that's kind of the moral of that is each of these events are going to these things as a group, as a family. These are the things that are memorable, which is why I am always prone for doing things on someone's birthday or celebrating a holiday, going somewhere and doing something as a family or as a group, because that is something you'll remember. You know, a T-shirt, a hat, a trinket, you could get lost, it could get broke. It might be something no one likes. So I always find that taking people places is the best way to go, in all honesty, when it comes to that. But when you talk about being a father and being a dad and being a responsible parent, is it responsible to bring them to a rock show? Absolutely. As long as you're, you know, keeping an eye on them and doing everything, keeping everyone safe, why not? I think everything has to be done in order and specifically. And it doesn't matter what everyone else in the world is doing. See, there's an old saying, if you're a parent, I'm sure you heard it from time to time again, even if, you know, if you're my age, either two, you might have heard the old, well, so-and-so's parents are doing it, or so-and-so's mother lets them do it, or whatever. And I know a lot of the times the common parental response is, well, you know, you're not in parent so-and-so's house. Well, you know, I can honestly say that, you know, a lot of people wish they could be part of our family. We have a very diverse family. We are very open-minded. We raise our kids to respect everyone for the most part, and they do respect everyone. We raise our kids to have awareness. We're in the middle of Pride Month. My wife has been, you know, and adamant about, you know, making sure kids know it's perfectly fine and normal to accept everyone, and we do. My kids have been to the Pride events plenty because everyone has the right to do whatever they want to make them happy. As long as they're being respected, that's what it really comes down to. As a parent, the old way of doing it is, well, you're not going down there. That's this and that. And that's old way of thinking. I'm sorry to tell you. The world's changing. Me and my wife are realistic, and we're people who believe that you should just be who you are. There are a lot of people who will sit there and tell you that, you know, you could do this, you could do that. And here's the thing, you know, the funniest part about it is everyone will tell you how to parent, especially the ones who have no kids. They'll love to tell you that. I think one of my biggest pet peeves about when I was working as a big brother mentor is I had more parental instincts than a lot of the parents who had these poor kids in this situation. I want to point out that a lot of people have the perception that, you know, to be a big brother, you don't have someone else in the house. You're maybe an orphan or whatever. There are many different reasons why there's a big brother mentor and why that's there. And a lot of that comes to, one, they have the same thing for girls. It's called big sister, big brother, big sister. And the same reason, because you always need that older person, someone to rely on when you need someone to talk to, someone to pull around with. Now, the other part about, you know, the big brother, big sister thing is they're about goals and stuff like that. So the kid might have a goal, and you want to help them get that goal. So while you're being their big brother, you're, you know, showing them that you're going to be there, you talk to them, you make sure they're good, you know, you set up your appointments or whatever, that are more like hanging out. That's all you do. You hang out and you got to, you know, be, you know, weary. You got to be open-minded. I still remember when they were interviewing me and I was just mortified that they were, you know, do you have a problem with this? Do you have a problem with that? Would this make you weird? I'm like, why am I going to judge someone else? Like, it was very interesting as far as that goes. I have a background in human services as well. And I just felt that, it doesn't matter what they choose to do. They're them, you know, and I'm here to make sure they achieve their goal, whatever it is. And that's the other part of it too. They always have some type of goal, whether it be to earn confidence. They can earn, you can go up to a counter and order your own food. And kids have different roles and different needs that you need. sometimes you have a kid who just needs someone to talk to, someone to goof around with, someone to give them moral lessons, and I did that a lot. Sometimes you have kids who just want to have someone help them, you know, strength coach them, try to motivate them when it comes to sports and stuff like that, which, of course, sports background, so that helps with that. And sometimes, you know, you have to, you know, guide them, give them tools on how to manage various different emotional issues, how to deal with, you know, anger or emotions, you know, things of that nature. There's a lot of various different reasons for why there's a big brother in the, you know, working with the club, with the family. But I think for myself, when I really noticed that, you know, I was taking this to heart, really, is I was given an award by Big Brother Big Sister in 2003 for all my tireless efforts or whatever, as they called it. I didn't see it that way. I just, you know, I do what I can to help people. And I had as it turns out, I have a 98% success rate, which means that 98% of the kids that are assigned to me as little brothers are successful in achieving their goal and, you know, are successful in, you know, going forward, you know, good responses. And the other thing about it is when you're done, when you're, you know, client, when your little brother achieves their goal, really the idea is to get them to a point where they can socially become acceptable and to have their own friends their age. So hopefully they can, you know, you would move on to someone who is more needing of your services, and that little brother would, you know, go on to do other things. That's the idea of the model. And for me, I invest a lot of time. I put all my efforts into helping everyone, listening, and I probably give more advice. I'm more open than most because I can see things in three different ways, one side, the other side, and then what really happened, because that's ultimately the, you know, the story of everything. I think people are quick to jump to conclusions. I think people are quick to, you know, question things as well. I also think that a lot of the times, and I get it and I've seen it with my own eyes, you know, parents are so busy working, trying to provide for their families, give the kids the things they want, the things that they, quote, couldn't have themselves, that when they get home, they're so tired from working all day. And we're talking about jobs that are, you know, hard jobs, you know, whether it be responding jobs or professional jobs or, you know, hardworking jobs, blue collar jobs. They come home, they're tired after, you know, busting tail to make some money for the family. And the last thing they want to do when they come home is go to see little Johnny's, you know, little Johnny's baseball game, or go to see, you know, Johnny's, you know, dance play or something like that. That's the least thing on his mind. Does he still care? Do they care about their sons? Of course they do. But just they're not emotionally available when the kid needs them there. That's kind of when they assign someone like myself to help them, to be that person in the middle. I have a 98% success rate because what happens is kids get really good and they do really well. And what happens is sometimes the parents, sometimes they get involved with other people. Sometimes they listen to other people who might not know the situation as well. And then what ends up happening is when they will terminate from they'll pull the kid from the program saying, well, he's all set. He doesn't need any more goals. He's doing great. But you see, we evaluate these things very, you know, we're very much aware of situations and we know a lot about each individual people. I know more about people than, you know, most people do. And when I tell you there's concerns, there's reasons for that. And if I say that this person's ready to move on, then yeah, they're probably ready to move on. But if I say that there's some kind of a conflict, there's going to be, you know, issues. And I even said in those cases, I said, listen, if we terminate this, you know, this, we don't have a say ultimately. It's up to the parents ultimately, you know, if they want to keep them in the program or not. And if they don't, you know, they pull them out of the program and they do it themselves. And twice that I can think of, that's why it's a 98. And of course, it also reflects is the 98% rate. Twice, parents pulled the kids out before they were ready to be pulled out. And after, you know, now when that happens, I'm moved on to someone else who's more needing. And now that kid doesn't have that infrastructure. Some cases, I might have been the only anchor for that person. And then when I was out of that equation, now it's, you know, since they got things controlled, now I'm not there. And sometimes I was the anchor in some situations to keep the person grounded. And these stories I hear after they work with me is, you know, heartbreaking as someone who invests so much time in helping someone that I find out that, you know, they, you know, a couple weeks after working with me and they got terminated from the program or pulled out and ended it and whatever. A couple weeks later, they got in trouble for breaking into a church, lighting on things on fire, breaking into places, vandalism. And these are the things that happen. I take that stuff to heart because I invest a lot of time in helping people. So, you know, I say, you know what? I got to focus on my own kids. And a lot of times that is one of the biggest things people will say, well, they're not your kids. And you know what? That's right. It's not my kids. And that's why I said, you know what? I got to focus on my own. And that's why I stepped away from a lot of that and I focused on my own. And the result of that, my daughter and my son graduated high school. My daughter and my son both work. My daughter is a manager one job and working another, both in coffee houses. You know, I raised them right, working around coffee. My son works in a movie theater. I mean, come on, it's me. So, you know, so they're amazing kids and they're amazing people. They're amazing young people who have become and grew up into the young men and the women that they are today. My wife was there the whole time, and I was there as much as I can be, and full since I've been around. So, and it's one of those things. Sometimes you have to look around the world to find the people you really want to be with in front of you the whole time, and that's kind of the story of our lives. I don't regret it at ever. I'm proud of making the decision. Now, a lot of people in my blood, as we call them, my family, they don't see things my way and they don't really have the same values I do. And that's on them. Whatever. Frankly, I would rather hang out with my wife and my kids than hang around with anyone else from a blood family. I have more fun with my wife and my kids than around a lot of those other people. None of us really drink or smoke. Let's be clear. I mean, the kids are getting older. And of course, kids like to experiment or whatever. I myself don't drink or smoke or drug ever. My wife doesn't generally do those things either. I do drink coffee. Oh, boy, do I drink coffee, and that's probably as bad as it gets. That and the occasional soda. But that's as bad as it gets for me. But that's also because I like to be alert. And as I say, I can make a fool of myself completely sober. I don't need alcohol or drugs to do that for me. But my kids are awesome and they earn everything they have and they've gotten to be where they are. And, you know, half of that's for my wife, half of that's for me, and then also themselves. It's a three-way partnership. And that's kind of how ultimately parenting works when you have it works. I never understood, probably going back to when I was growing up, how you can knowingly have a child and not give a damn about them. I don't know how one can, you know, pretend to not know. Like, I don't know how someone sleeps with someone and 9 months later when they're told they have a son or a daughter, they just disappear or they want nothing to do with them. Or they use them as pawns, or they abuse them. Or I don't understand those things. I don't get it. Is it hard work? Hell yeah. The tears, the bruises. Let me tell you. You know, it's not a flattering job. You know, early on, even growing up, even throughout their lives, isn't always flattering. Trust me. But knowing you're there to help them and they know that you're there and they know they can rely on you. That's when you know you're a good parent. Then when they start, you know, reaching out to you and you start talking to them and they start talking to you about things and have opinions on their own and, you know they did, when they're listening to Def Leppard. You know you raised them well, and they'd rather listen to Def Leppard than whatever's on the radio today. You know, and their own individualities, and that's also part of it too. Every kid, you can have one kid who is themselves, or you can have multiple kids, and they're all going to have their own individuality. You know, you can have twins. You can have identical twins, and they're going to have their own personalities. And that's a fact. People are themselves, and our kids are the same. They're night and day. My wife will say that, and it's very much true. They are night and day. My daughter is a little louder and more outgoing sometimes. My son is comical, yet more laid back, I guess would be the way to put it. Both can be pretty competitive if you push them enough. Both are probably the only people to actually give me a run for my money in games are the one ones. And my son's the only one who gets away with maybe being taller than me. My daughter, on the hand, because she listens to me, she was nice enough to stay smaller than me, like I told them both when they were younger. But that's a joke thing. Initially, kids are going to grow up. Sometimes they're going to get taller than you, realistically. But as my grandmother used to say, one of my grandmother's favorite sayings, I have not used this one, by the way, and I'm not going to, because my grandmother was someone who believed in things I don't believe in when it comes to raising kids. I don't believe in corporal punishment. I don't believe with hitting people. And I also don't believe in really screaming and yelling, I don't think it accomplishes anything except embraces fear and whatnot. That doesn't mean my wife and I agree on the same things either. But she did an amazing job on her end, all right, I guess. But I'm more of a person who likes to have someone understand what they did was wrong, and I would give them the lecture. Which, tell me what? My lectures are probably worse than getting punished for other things. To sit there and tell a story of why something's dangerous and give them examples. That's what parenting is. Anyone can say, don't do this and don't do that. I like to go that one extra step and show them why. Unfortunately, they never got to know my mother, their grandmother, really well. If my mother was alive and they started smoking. I know I did this for several of my friends growing up, where I'd introduce them to my mother, who at a young age was confined to a wheelchair from cigarette smoking a lot. And I would introduce them to them. And, you know, in the same sense, as much as I said before, if my mother was still alive, one hand, it would be great to see how she would be with my kids. And the other side, I'd be terrified that she would get them into more trouble, because my mother was someone who didn't have issues with, you know, doing whatever and not having worried about the consequences. My kids have a little bit more common sense probably than my mother would. My kids would probably also have a little more hesitation in doing certain things that my mother would not think twice about. But they're night and day. They're awesome kids, my kids. They're all individualities. Both like anime, both like, you know, the similar types of music, but, you know, My son loves Jurassic Park. My daughter would much rather watch Twilight. Oh, boy. Yeah, and for those people wondering, no, I've never watched it, and I haven't watched it with her. And, you know, neither kid is really into my level of vegetables and fruits as much as I like them to be, or more open to more foods. But my daughter, as they get older, my daughter's is breaking out and having a little bit more things. My son somewhat is, you know, experimenting here and there. So I give them credit for that. But growing up, they were very picky eaters, but that's okay. That's what kids do. My daughter liked white sauce. No. Yeah, my daughter liked red sauce. My son liked white sauce. That's how the kids worked. As far as tomato sauce. When I was a kid, I didn't like any sauce at all. So I can relate to this. This is why, you know, a lot of the time, my favorite part about being a parent is when the kids are doing stuff, or they have this kind of feeling, or they have this notion that, you know, you don't know what they're doing. That's kind of one of my favorite things, to be honest. You know, kids kind of forget sometimes that we were once young. They think magically we woke up and we're moms and dads somehow. They forget that we were once their age. And I think sometimes parents forget that they were their age as well. And sometimes that's why I'm more laid back as far as, you know, dealing with the kids. I would rather sit my kids down and talk to them about what they did or what didn't happen. Because sometimes, let's be fair here. If they're doing something that's going to endanger themselves or others, yeah, absolutely, I'm going to talk to them. But, you know, hearing that, you know, so they had a rough day in the snow. The old days of parenting, the old days of things would be, you know, little Johnny would come home from school with a note from the teacher. The teacher would say, oh, Johnny was bad. And the old ways of doing things, well, Johnny's dad or mom would take him to the woodshed, and that was the old ways of doing things. I don't agree with that at all. It does nothing, and I think it's nonsense if you think that that somehow made you a better person. It just means you're going to go and do it again to someone else because you think that's how to deal with that. But initially, what if you were to do that and then find out that the teacher was not fair either? See, this is where I'm lucky enough to kind of take a step back and say, wait a minute now, why is this note coming? And there has been times when I've had to talk to the school for teachers doing things, or there are times when my son or my daughter are doing things they're not supposed to do. But it's important to listen to your kids first. You know, one of the biggest pet peeves in horror movies, and this is a horror trope, but it's a trope thing in general of any movie. How many people have seen a horror movie that has a kid in the movie where they always say, hey, our house is haunted, and the parents never listen, ever. Oh, yeah, there's a ghost in my room. No, you're just imagining it. No, it's this. Even when, like, the parents probably know themselves there's something wrong here, but the kid tells them that, but they don't want to give the kid any kind of acknowledgement that they're wise enough to know what's real and what's not. That's one of the biggest horror movie tropes of all time. That kind of drives me nuts because that shows the lack of communication that a family has. To immediately forget about something or dismiss something your kids would come to tell you is, number one, bad parenting. If your kids are coming to you with an issue and they're telling you they're scared, something's wrong, I'm going to say you probably should probably listen a little bit more. Even if it's hard to believe, there's going to be something there that's going to be realistic. It doesn't matter how old they are. I always take account to listen to everyone who I talk to. When I talk to people and they talk to me, I don't just sit there and say, oh, yeah, yep, that's it. I listen to them when they talk. And everything they say, and then I analyze it. Partly because of how I grew up, because I grew up with a bunch of people who were very not truthful, is the very little best way to put it. A lot of my people in my blood were very dishonest people. They would lie through their teeth. So sometimes I'd have to listen to people like my family, my blood family talking about things, and, you know, I'd have to sift through things that they said to get the truth of what was happening. But, you know, my kids and my wife, my kids especially know, it's almost... It's impossible to lie to me. I will find out eventually, and 9 out of 10 times I already know. Again, I was young once, and I know these things. I know how things work. It's not my first rodeo. I usually tell my son, listen, whatever you and your friends are thinking about doing today is something that me and my friends probably already did and probably had a better idea on how to do it. So, you know, there's that. But these are the things you encounter as a parent, but these are also the parts of the being a parent that can stress you out. But in the same sense, when your kids grow up and they know, you know, they get to those situations where they'll remember something you said and they'll, you know, do one thing or the other, that's kind of when you know you won as a parent, when they're doing something that you know that you encouraged. We encourage our kids to do whatever it is that makes them happy. We encourage them to be themselves. We encourage them to come talk to us as much as they want. I make a point to call or talk to my kids every day when I can't, you know, talk to them in person. They're getting older now. Last thing they want to do is hang around with mom and dad every day, all day, every day. But when I call them, they'll answer. And when they call me, I'll answer. And that's how that works. And that's how it has to be. You have to keep track of them. That's why I also recommend the family game nights once or twice a week. Go on a Friday or Saturday night, make a time with your family. you know, you, especially your kids or whatever, you sit down with your parent, your family, you know, if you're, even if you're a single parent or, you know, whatever, sit down and find a game that you guys can all play together. I think playing games is a great way to, one, it makes it fun. You can have a few laughs, and also it makes it easier to talk and, you know, find out how everyone's week was. How was school? And that's probably why we're so informed as parents, is because we listen to our kids. We talk to them at dinner. You know, that was the thing we had to do. We had a dinner at the table. We talked as a family, and, you know, that's kind of how it should be. And that's honestly the best way, because you have communication. I think when it comes to being a parent, communication is key. If you are a parent who has a spouse, lucky enough to have another half, then it's good to have that communication. Even if they're completely miserable asshole jerks, it's good to have that communication. When you don't have that communication, the kids are the ones who suffer in the end. My wife and I like to keep everything nice and in the middle. We keep everything kind of together for the most part. My wife has knowledge of some things. I have knowledge of other things, and that's kind of how it works. That's kind of how it should. See, I know a lot of the things when it comes with the male side of things. My wife comes with this, you know, girl side of things, where we have a boy and a girl kind of a thing, and that's kind of an easy thing. I often wonder, you know, my mother was one of the biggest tomboys alive, so I lucked out with that one, because my mother taught me how to fight, and but, you know, taught me how to be confrontational, and it would taught me a lot of that stuff, because I didn't have any guys to show me. So there's that. So I guess the moral of that story is anyone can, you know, have a baby, anyone can, you know, get someone pregnant, but to be a parent, to be a father, it's a different story. And I think when it comes to what defines a father, to me, it's someone who your life is about that child. It's not even so much about your relationship anymore. Your relationship is now the child. Make sure the child's taken care of. That's what a parent is. You know, a lot of the times I come from the wrestling world, and one of the reasons why I don't, you know, enjoy doing that anymore is because my family needed me at home. And that's why I had no problem giving it up to be with my family. There are a lot of people look at the wrestling business or filmmaking. Their parents go around, go away for weeks and weeks and end, years sometimes on tour before the kids even see their dads. Listen to half the kids who grew up in wrestling and how their dads were always on the road and their moms were on the road. They never saw them at home. And, you know, yeah, they know they get the money and they know they care when they show up, but they don't have, they miss those moments. They miss the birthdays. They miss the, you know, when the kid's sick. You know, I tell the story of how the show started, my YouTube show. The whole thing started because my son was homesick from school. And as a parent, when your kids are sick, your number one priority is making sure they're healthy and safe and comfortable. My son likes to laugh. He's kind of the same sense of humor as I do, somewhat. So, you know, I figured if I made Homer Simpson using the wrestling game and then Peter Griffin, then have them fight each other, he'd have a laugh at it. He did. And then he thought, oh, let's put this on YouTube, because YouTube was kind of a thing. So we did that. And that's kind of how the show started. But that ultimately came because my son was sick from school, and I was doing the responsible thing by taking care of my son, getting him his orange juice, making sure he's laying down and relaxed, you know, and all that stuff. Being a writer growing up, a lot of the time would tell my own brothers and my sisters bedtime stories. I got that from my aunt. So growing up, I had the same three bedtime stories for my brothers and my sister. And then when I became a big brother mentor, once in a while, I would have to tell a bedtime story here and there as part of our, you know, thing. And again, I would use the same, you know, Rolodex of the three stories. And flash forward, I would have my own kids, right? And now, you know, we talk about the difference between night and day. My daughter always wanted some kind of a mystical kind of a story. My son, quote, this is his favorite phrase right here, and never changed. What kind of a story do you want, sir? Funny, adventurous, rustic story. And when I want to get a chuckle out of him, usually I'll do my impression of him as that's what usually he would request, as a funny Adventures Wrestling story. And, of course, when I had my own kids, that's when I started having to make stories up on the fly. As a writer, that can be fun. Also, a really good endurance improv skills are going to be shown with that one, because it's not always easy to come up with stories on the fly, a different story. But what I did find out is if you make a tri-parter, it's a little easier sometimes to get out of the room, because sometimes, you know, the whole reason we tell them bedtime stories, one, is so that they're comfortable, they're relaxed, and they're ready to fall asleep. And also, that also shows them that we care enough to give them something or have a dream about, I guess. And my son, I would tell both kids stories, and there were different stories altogether. I can tell you this fun thing, though. When it came down, before I asked my wife to officially marry me, I kid you not, my kids were still kind of younger, and they were still getting bedtime stories at that time. And when I was telling them the bedtime stories, depending on, it didn't matter which one, my daughter liked the mystical stories, or my son liked the Funny Adventures Wrestling stories. You know, that's kind of how I kind of interpret. I actually was basically hinting that I was going to ask my wife to marry me in those stories. And it was kind of funny because, you know, I was telling a story to my daughter about this prince who married this, He was a stable boy who somehow was interested in the queen, who was a single queen who had a princess and a prince, and how he was going to come in and he was going to swoop them up. And if only for that pesky order, you know, being a king, a prince, not a stable boy. Well, it turns out he was a prince the whole time. And so these are the kind of hints that, you know, I would tell the story, like my daughter would be that one, where I'd leave hints that I was going to, you know, tell her about how I was going to ask her mom to marry me soon enough, or, you know, kids are old enough to know now. And then my son, I would fit that into his story about Indiana Vengeance, which was his character. Indiana Vengeance was his wrestling character name in the story. Well, it's not his wrestling character name. It was his character's name in the stories that I would write. It was a series. It was an anthology series. Jazz Vengeance and his son, Indiana Vengeance, the epic adventures. And, you know, I would, you know, tell the story about how Indiana Vengeance's dad and mom and we're going to marry each other. It was a long, tedious thing. It was pretty cool, though. And I don't think they knew I was still going to do it, but I did. And it was epic. And for those people who ever wondered, well, how did you officially ask your wife to marry you? Well, very simply put, my wife had a talk show. In fact, if you go to her Blog Talk, if you go to on the iTunes, I believe it's still on there, is the Squared Circle Cafe from August of 2014, I believe. And that is when I officially asked her to marry me. August of 2014, because I was at the Monster Mania convention. And I was calling in as a guest, and as I already had done prior, and I basically held up her show by asking my wife on air to marry me. It was pretty record-breaking, I guess. So she had two co-hosts who you could hear the jaws dropping on the microphones. It was awesome. So for those romantics out there, I'm sure you guys are all doing the heart emojis right now, and that's okay. It's okay to be emotional. It's fine. But for those men out there in the world, take some tips. That's how that's done, folks. Anyway, it's important to know that, you know, your the things you do, the things we do in life, is going to have impact on people we raise. And the weekend is coming, and it's important to embrace whatever it is your kids want to do. And that's the one thing I got to say is really awesome to see as far as these young athletes go. Are the people in general these days, it's great to see so many parents involved in their kids' activities and so embracing of their kids' individuality. Because I think it's important to let kids be kids. Of course, you want to make sure your kids are safe. That's a no-brainer. But it's important to let your kids be them and let them kind of live on their own and do them, you know? So that's something to leave you guys with. Just, you know, for the parents out there who are like me and my wife who, you know, not only do, you know, the minimum but go above and beyond, I'm with you. It's not an easy job, but it's the best job out there. It doesn't pay you. In fact, you have to pay more for it. It's probably the most expensive job that you have to pay for. But, again, it's a job that you do selflessly. It's a job that you do for not recognition. And you don't do it for a title. You don't do it for any kind of a prize. You do it because you love them. And you do it because you want to see them grow into humans that are going to take care of the world and make a difference. My kids are F4L. They'll tell you they're F4L. How many kids out there can walk up to their parents and say, yeah, we're F4L? Most parents, if their kids walked up and said that, would probably know, what the hell is the F4L? And that would probably mean you don't talk to your kids enough. Most kids are F4L. I think it's important also to take time in your lives. I know we get busy. As I said, not everyone's situation is like mine or my wife's. But it's important to remember that you've got to take time to talk to your kids once in a while. Even if you're a busy executive, it doesn't matter what your job is, because here's the deal. The reality is, no matter what your job is before you have kids, no matter what your job is after you have kids, at the end of the day, the first job you have, your full-time 365-day, 7-day-a-week job, being a father, being a dad is your first job. Anything else after that is after that. As far as importance goes, doesn't matter if you're the executive of a high four K company. It doesn't matter if you're the executive of Disney World. It doesn't matter if you're a Hollywood blockbuster actor. It doesn't matter if you're the toughest guy in the locker room at any game. At the end of the day, if you're not a father, you're not doing your job as being a dad, your job initially is your kids. That's your job. Your job is to be a dad. And it's important to remember that when you're doing whatever it is you're doing, to remember that you are a father. You have kids. And don't be smug and run away from that. Embrace it and be proud of it. It's not something everyone can do. But I remember a commercial growing up. Anyone can give birth. Anyone can be a father, but it takes a real man to be a dad. No, anyone can be a man, but it takes a real – no. Anyone can be a father. Anyone can be a father, but it takes a real man to be a dad. That's what it was. And it's true. And I think it's true. I think you definitely are a man when you can step up and take full responsibility for your kids. And this month I'm going to hopefully have some of my fellow dads on here to talk about what it's like on their end of things. What is it like to be a dad growing up? The ups, the downs, the turmoil, the pains, the tears, but also the celebrations and the greatness that they're doing and the hopes for them. I think what you'll find is, you know, a respect element. That being said, I know there's going to be people out there who don't have a father or a dad or a male or something of that nature. And this could be a tough time for those people. I think that's also important to recognize, which is another thing we're going to do on the show is, you know, be sensitive to those who don't have, who aren't lucky enough to be, you know, kids have us as dads. I try to give fatherly advice when I can. I try to be professional as much as possible. There are some things I'm not going to be quiet about when it comes to safety. I can't speak enough about safety, especially, you know, cyber safety, especially on social media. I don't think necessarily social media is always great for young people. I think it's important if you're a parent who decides that it's okay for your kids to have social media. I encourage you guys to be part of that scenario and be part of that and to, you know, every once in a while, give a peek. Ask your kids what's going on. Make sure everything's safe and kosher. Things happen a lot. I've seen things that I wish I didn't. I've reported things I wish I didn't have to see. And I'm very sad for the people who had to see them to begin with. So there's that. Anyway, folks, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer on that, but, you know, it's important to be a parent, and there's a lot of things now that you worry about you didn't worry about then. Back in, you know, when I was growing up in the 80s, you didn't really worry about going to school and someone shooting the school. You do now. But on the same sense, it's important to realize that as long as you raise your kids to live the F4LA with love, care, and compassion, understanding and respect for each other's differences, the F4LA, then there really wouldn't be any need for a gun or a knife or fighting in general. We don't like bullies. We don't condone bullying. We will never stand with bullies. And we stand with those who stand up to bullies. And we stand up to, you know, all of that. And it's not easy sometimes. As a parent, we see things. We see headlines. It's quick to jump to those conclusions. And it's quick to get really upset at the situation at hand. But when you're a parent, I think what first you should do is give your son, daughter a hug or a kiss or whatever and, you know, tell them you love them. That's the biggest thing I can say to someone. Make sure you tell everyone who you know you care about you love them. I think that's important for a lot of people. I think that recognition, it sounds like it's cliche. It sounds really sappy, but not only do you say that you love them, you got to show them that you love them by being there. How many times have we watched a movie where, you know, a kid, his dad says, oh, yeah, I love him. It's like one of these burly men, and they don't like hugs and whatever. Listen, if my kid wants a hug, I'm going to give him a hug. I'm going to give my daughter a hug or a kiss, whatever the case may be. They're your kids. That's how that works. Show them you love them and care. And, you know, sometimes it's a hug or a kiss. Sometimes it's a pat on the back. Sometimes it's a pat on the head. Sometimes it's, you know, making them laugh. Sometimes it's telling them a cornball dad down joke. Sometimes it's, you know, giving them a scare. There's all kinds of elements to it. Sometimes it's playing Def Leppard. Anyway, it's Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Let's not dwell on the past and the sadness and whatever. Let's celebrate the fact that we have a weekend coming up. You, if you're listening to this and you have someone with you this weekend, have a blast. Have fun. In general, you're in control of your life no matter what it is you're doing. And in the end, you're in control of your own destinies no matter what it is. Anyone can tell you you can or can't do something because the world's going to be full of those people that tell you that. Well, I'm going to tell you that, like I've told people growing up, who told me those things, watch me. Ladies and gentlemen, I have time left, but I am going to let you guys go so I can take care of things and get things in order for tomorrow's MMA tournament, which is going to be epic. And then, oh boy, and Sunday will be the conclusion of the tournament, for the record. It is 2 days. So tomorrow on my YouTube channel on F4L Icons, our Icons of the F4L, you will have the full day's events. Let me tell you, it's going to be a lot of stuff up there. YouTube is going to break down from our MMA tournament tomorrow. Five rounds of preliminaries, and then we have the next 8 matches in their thoroughs. So it's going to be epic. So make sure you're watching our YouTube channel tomorrow for that, Icons of the F4L. You can reach me at WOW, W-O-W, Dream Matches, DreamMatches, @gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram at F4L. Is it? Hold on. I got to even look. How many people actually know their stuff off the top of their head anymore? if my wife was here, she probably would be raising her hand, because that's what my wife does, because she likes to get fun at the Giants. Anyway, if you want to find me on Instagram, it's F4L. See, I was right. Icon, IconSeanJazzSteven1 on Instagram. I do have another account, by the way. It is still up there. I haven't shut it down yet because it's a backup account I had to start because I was having issues with Instagram. I don't know why that is. I did. Modern technology. That's one of the things that the kids today have an advantage over us on. But there's that, and so you can find me there. I'm barely on Twitter, but if you ever want to find me on Twitter, it's SeanJazzSteven1 on, it's all one word, on Twitter. So, and also I want to let people know that the other YouTube channel is going to be back up, and I'm going to be giving you guys tips in person, me personally. Or I heard Jeff Fitness might be having some things to say about that with a live fitness center extravaganza. And again, if people are interested in coming on the show, send me an email, drop me a message somewhere. I always reply to everything. A little excessive about it. Going forward, I'll be less, going out there and just, saying things on social media, just trolling around because I have a lot of work to do on the several projects right now, filming and other forth. But anyway, hit me up, let me know what to do. Next time we'll have a guest on the show, maybe the winner of our MMA Grand Prix, our Icon Pro, we'll have the winner on. Maybe we'll have people from the MMA tournament on to talk about that time and multiple things. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I am the F4L Icon, Sean Jazz Stevens, saying enjoy the rest of your Friday TGI F4L weekend. This is your kickoff. May all your dreams come true. Peace.